that's upon us, isn't it? The Christmas season. And we don't want to take the Christmas season lightly because it is that time of the year that's been set aside to remember the birth of our Savior. Sometimes we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the materialism of Christmas, and we don't want to do that. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy presents for people and remember those that you love, but it's more important to remember the greatest gift that was ever given, and that was Jesus Christ, wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. We have on the back table there by the offering box a tract. It talks about the perfect gift, good news in troubling times. On the back of that is our information, our address, website, times of some activities coming up in the month of December. But if you'd like to take some of these and hand them out to your friends or to your neighbors or to your family members, help them to understand what the perfect gift is all about, you're certainly more than welcome to do that. We have more, so if we run out of the stack that's by the offering box, don't worry about it. I can print more. Very easy to do. So they were sent to us by a group called Outreach, and they're just providing for churches the opportunity to present the gospel message at this time of year. So if you want one or two or three or ten, take them and give them out to those who might need to hear about the perfect gift. All right. So as I said, we're starting our study, our series on Christmas this morning. Christmas in your heart. And take heart, because it's only one verse that we're looking at this morning. So take your copy of the scriptures and open to Luke chapter 2, verse 19, if you would. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. As I said earlier this morning, Christmas is a time of reflection. It's a time where we often stop and think about years gone by, how we celebrated with family and friends, how we have these unique traditions maybe that we have, where we say, okay, this is what we're going to do this year at this point in time, and we're going to do this on a regular basis. And then as your family grows, some of those traditions change. Sometimes the kids take those traditions and incorporate them into their own lives. But that's what Christmas is about. We stop and we reflect, we remember, we think about, we enjoy those family ideas that we put into play. Somebody asked us one time about Christmas in South Africa. Our first Christmas in South Africa was kind of hard to adapt to. I mean, I grew up in Messina, okay? And Harold's back there snickering because he probably understands what Messina is like. One Christmas in Messina, we woke up and it was 25 degrees below zero. When you step on the snow, it kind of sounds like styrofoam because all of the moisture has been frozen out of it. Cars didn't start. If you left any liquid in your car, there was a good chance that it kind of, the bottle, my brother left a case of Pepsi in the car that night, and there wasn't a bottle left. 24 bottles somehow magically exploded in the car, and we were picking out pieces of glass in June. But anyway, that's Messina Christmases. Always cold, always snow. In fact, in my growing up years, I remember one green Christmas in Messina. It certainly wasn't the norm. So our first Christmas in South Africa, when we're looking at probably 90 degrees temperature and we're spending time in the pool and we're brying outside. Now, brying to them is what we would call grilling here. That's the normal African fare for celebrating Christmas. You have a cookout. That was way back in 1989, our first Christmas in the tropics, if you will, or just a little below the tropics as we lived in Cape Town. It took us many years. I'm not sure that we ever got used to not having snow at Christmas time. In fact, we kind of missed it. And we would tell stories there about the snows and all the kind of fun things that you do at Christmas time around here. But it's hot in South Africa at Christmas time. And so we enjoyed that, but it wasn't like really celebrating Christmas for us. No snow, and yet warm enough to go out and jump in the pool. How do you figure Christmas? Now, I suppose if you live in Florida or something like that, then that's normal for you. But we don't, do we? And we enjoy the snow at Christmas time, but Christmas is a time of remembering, reflecting on years gone by. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We were going to reflect on, in fact, a time many, many years ago, that very first Christmas, if you will, when our Savior was born, when there was no room in the inn for the baby who was going to change history. This morning, as we begin a Christmas series, we're going to look at some different characters in the Christmas account. This morning, we're going to look at Mary, and next week, we'll look at a different character and so on, throughout the Christmas season. But I want to briefly talk about reflections this morning that probably took place in the heart of Mary the night she gave birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. The goal is to help set our focus on what Christmas is really all about, so that we can think about Jesus during this time, and we can remember to tell others about our great Savior, and the love that we have for Christ, and for all the things that he has done for us, and that we might continue to show others our commitment to the ways of the Heavenly Father. And I want to start off by reading you a song this morning. It goes like this. Wish that I was there on that silent night when your tiny heart started beating for mine. I wish I could have seen the star in David's town when you turned a stable into a holy ground. I sing along the angel's song, Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is here tonight, so go and tell the world that death has died. Because Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive. The God who made us all, with these two little hands, is bringing us his kingdom, quiet as a lamb. Oh, such amazing grace, a divine conspiracy. The Savior in a manger changes everything. That's why we sing, Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is here tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died, because Jesus is alive. Sin, you have no sting. Hell, you have no power. Jesus is alive. Curse, you are no more. This is your final hour. Jesus is alive. Because the Son of God has not left us alone, Jesus is alive. He'll live and die and rise again. And then he'll bring us home. Jesus is alive. The old will pass away and we will become new. Jesus is alive. This baby boy is making all sad things untrue. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is here tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Can you imagine that first Christmas night? There's another song, Mary, Did You Know? And asks a whole bunch of questions if Mary knew these things about her baby boy. And I think as we work our way through our time together in God's Word this morning, I think we'll see that she did know at least some of the amazing things that were going to unfold because of the birth of the one that she called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You might be wondering, how do you know what Mary reflected on that first Christmas season? Well, the Bible tells us a little bit about those Christmas reflections. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it's up on the screen, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The New American Standard reads this way. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Just a little bit different. And then there's a translation or a paraphrase actually called Eugene Peterson's Contemporary paraphrasing, and he actually did a very good job summing up perhaps what was in Mary's mind at this time. He says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. Deep within herself. That idea of pondering or meditating or thinking about it over and over and over again. There's more to it. And so as we get started this morning, let's take first of all a look at Mary's mindset. That opening part of that verse says, but Mary kept, what did she keep? Well, she kept thoughts and memories and reflections and events as they were unfolding in her life. And let me share with you a contrast worth remembering, because this verse starts off with that word but. And you know how much much I like that word but. It's such a powerful little word. It tells you that something happened before, and now there's a contrast that's being stated next. If we compare verse 18 and verse 19, we immediately see what the contrast is. Verse 18 tells us of the news of how Jesus' birth was spreading abroad. It was spreading, they didn't have internet, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have radio or TV, but somehow the news of the birth of the Savior, the birth of the Christ child, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the one that so many had been longing for, waiting for, looking for his appearing, has finally arrived. And the news of his birth was spreading. And those who heard about his birth, they marveled at how it all came to happen. Now again, not in 2020 standards, because if something that amazing happened in 2020, it would happen immediately. In fact, it probably would happen on YouTube. Okay? And news would be spreading about, and you'd get all kinds of tweets about it, and you'd get all kinds of things trending, and they'd blow up the internet. But the world blew up that night in a very real way. Angels came and spoke of the amazing birth, told shepherds about it, lowly people taking care of their sheep, minding their own business on the hillside. And all of a sudden, the hillside lights up, bright as can be. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid." You bet they were afraid. "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Behold, today a Savior is born." A Savior who would change the world. And if you know Jesus as your Savior today, you know just what that change is all about. It means you're no longer hell-bent. It means you're no longer on your way to separation from God for all of eternity. It means instead you're on your way to heaven with God and with Jesus Christ, our Savior, forever and ever. This birth of Jesus was so influential that we still celebrate it today, more than 2,000 years later. Some of us celebrate it for the right reasons and in the right way. And I trust this morning we will make a commitment that that's what our plan is this year, to celebrate Christmas the way God would have us to celebrate it. All of that happening, and yet the verse tells us Mary quietly reflected on what was happening in her life. Shepherds weren't quiet about it. They made a lot of noise about it. "Man, you should have seen these angels. You should have seen this little baby in the manger and how the cattle were just quietly kind of observing. And no room in the inn. Can you believe they didn't make room for this to happen?" The shepherds were spreading the news of the amazing birth of the Christ child. We also know that on that first Christmas night, there are recollections that won't soon be forgotten. You know how there are things that happen in your life that you know exactly where you were when it happened? Perhaps it's the night that you proposed to your wife. You remember exactly where it was, exactly how it happened, and what didn't happen that was supposed to happen to make it a really special event. We were supposed to go up on a hot air balloon, and I had the ring, and I was all ready to pop the question in the hot air balloon, and it rained all day, and the wind was blowing all over the place, and so they canceled the hot air balloon. Boy, what a deflating experience that was. It was all planned out. Throughout the day, she said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" And I'm like, "Nothing. Nothing." And so instead, I did it in our dorm parents' apartment. Her dorm parents' apartment. I remember those events. Won't forget them. It was an important event in our life. You might remember when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon and said, how do you say it? "One small step for man and one giant step for mankind." Changed history. Changed the world. Other events that you know exactly where you were when they happened. The assassination of John Kennedy. Do you know where you were if you were alive at the time? The World Trade Centers. You know where you were. Those kind of events you recall in happened? Well, Mary never forgot the night that Jesus was born. The birth of Christ has the potential to make that kind of difference in your life, just like it made that kind of difference in Mary's life. And as I said during our celebration of the Lord's table, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, then today could be that day. Don't let anything keep you or prevent you from trusting Jesus Christ and accepting this life-changing, this perfect gift that is made available to you. It says there that Mary kept these things. The word kept has the idea of something that is precious, that you don't want to lose. You guard it. You protect it. You put it in a special place so that it can be preserved. There's some things that to you and I are special, and we have a special place for them. And when somebody says, hey, where's that? You know exactly where it is. You go and you get it. You bring it out and you show it to people. You protect it, though. You don't just leave it lying around. Something that's important to you has a special place. We can be sure that on that very night when Mary was keeping these things, she kept these things because she was not eager to soon forget them. She wanted to remember them. She knew how significant the night was. So as we think about Mary's mindset on that first Christmas night, she had been visited by an angel, and the angel said, you're going to have a baby. What? How can that be? How can that happen? No, this is the way it's going to unfold. She knew that she was the one who had been promised centuries before to give birth to the Messiah who would crush the head of Satan. She was that one. Wow. What a blessing. And as the days, as the scripture says, days were accomplished that she should be delivered, she wasn't even at home. Man, what kind of night was that going to be? Joseph is getting close to the time. Yeah, we have to go to the city of David. Yes, but it's getting close to that time. I know. What are we going to do? Well, we'll just have to trust God because he knows what he's doing. Doesn't he know what he's doing? We can testify that in our lives, that he knows exactly what he's doing. Well, let's move on to Mary's memories, if you will. Mary kept all these things. These things. All what things? Well, it had been quite a 9-month period in Mary's life. Again, put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment, or sandals, and think about what was happening in her life. Think about that angelic announcement. The words of the angel Gabriel to Mary. You know what they are. Gabriel said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. After Mary recovered from seeing the angel told her these things. From God's perspective, Mary, this is what God thinks about you. You are highly favored. Wow. Can you imagine what that would do to your ego? You're blessed among women. Yeah. He went on to say, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Wouldn't we love to hear that? That God has found favor in us and has bestowed those blessings upon. Well, we have been favored by God, so much so that he sent his son to die in our place. The angel went on. You will conceive and bring forth a son. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. But you don't understand. I'm just a lowly peasant girl. I don't have no heritage, no wealth, no riches. It doesn't matter. You are the one that God has chosen. You will conceive. You will bring forth a son. And then he went on to say, your son, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The angel is telling Mary, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah, the one who fulfills Genesis chapter 3, the crushing of the head of Satan, the one who is going to deliver mankind from the curse of sin. Gabriel went on to say, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who's to be born will be called, what? The Son of God. Mary is going to give birth to the Son of God. Can you imagine that announcement and all the turmoil that it worked up in Mary's mind, and as she was thinking, she probably didn't go back to bed that night. Not only did she have this angelic announcement, but she had an authenticating adventure. She went on a visit shortly after she heard of the birth or the coming of the Messiah. She went on a trip to see her cousin Elizabeth. And think about the things that happened on that trip. Remember, we're building up the 9-month period that leads to the birth of Christ. When Mary gets to her cousin Elizabeth's house, she's welcomed into the house. And Luke chapter 2, verse 41 says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. We have the baby somersault here. John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. And when he hears the voice of Mary, who is pregnant with the child of God, the Christ child, the Messiah, the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. Wow. We talk about life beginning in the womb. Here we have perhaps two of the greatest individuals to be born. Jesus in Mary's womb and John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. And there's an interaction going on. And Elizabeth was sure to tell Mary all about it. Man, wow. Just felt something amazing happen. Strong case for life, isn't it? Not only do we have the somersault from the baby, but we have the salutation of Elizabeth. Elizabeth says, blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What a proclamation that was. Elizabeth realizing, now you got to understand, some amazing things are happening in Elizabeth's life as well. She was well past the age of childbearing. Her husband was a priest. He went in and he was doing his services, and he was met by an angel and said, hey, your wife is going to have a baby. Okay, I don't see how, and you're going to call the baby John. But, you know, and so he was a little doubtful of that whole exchange that went on with the angel. So the angel says, okay, here's a sign for you. You're not going to talk now until the baby's born. So even though Elizabeth could greet Mary, her husband couldn't. I'm sure her wife had to explain that to Mary. Why is your husband silent? Oh, well, he saw an angel and he can't talk now. Mary hears these words from Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is an authentication for Mary that she is indeed carrying the Messiah. Elizabeth had no idea about the conversation that went on between Mary and the angel. And yet Elizabeth says, yes, there's something special that you're carrying in there. Well, as we move on, we see the song of praise to God from Mary. In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 55, starts off this way. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. When Mary understands and really comes to terms with the fact of what's happening in her life, what does she do? She magnifies the Lord. She brings praise to God. We see this starts off by offering glory to God, by magnifying her great God. And she gives praise to God, realizing that salvation comes from God and God alone. God, you are the God of my salvation. I rejoice in my Savior, God. Mary acknowledges that God lifts up the humble and blesses those that submit to the ways of our great God. He does these amazing things because he's a holy God and always does what is good and right. These are all things that are made known or declared by Mary in what we call Mary's Magnificat, where where she magnifies and praises and glorifies and rejoices in the things of our great God. She also reminds us of God's great sovereignty when she says, He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalts those of humble estate. Again, God is sovereign. He was sovereign when He sent Mary and Joseph from their hometown to Bethlehem. Can you imagine Mary's questioning when Joseph said, Hey, sweetie, we have to pack up the donkey and head to Bethlehem. 9 months pregnant. I mean, our spouses might complain if we ask them to get in the car at 9 months and say, Hey, we're going to go see family today. But she said, Okay. God is sovereign, brought down the mighty from their thrones, and He exalts the humble, those of humble estates. She recalled God's faithfulness to His people, knowing that when Jesus is born, certain things are going to happen. She said this, He, God, has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers Abraham and to His offspring forever. She is realizing that now these things are going to start to unfold. The truths about the coming Messiah will begin to happen. I'm sure she was excited beyond degree. So we have these memories that Mary is keeping in her mind and making and jotting down if she could and remembering those things. So now we get to Mary's meditation. And what we see in Mary's meditation is that she pondered these things in her heart. She pondered them. What we have here is considered contemplation. The word pondered is an interesting word. It literally means to throw together. That's what that word ponder means. It means to throw it all together. Vine's Expository Dictionary says it means to put one thing with another and considering the circumstances. What's going on in Mary's life? Well, she's far from home. She's in a place that most people would not want to be in to give birth to a baby. She's with her husband Joseph, and now she has these strange people showing up at the stable where she's going to give birth here in just a little. All these things, she's pondering these things. The shepherds come and they worship Jesus when He's born. They go and they start telling everybody about it. She's pondering these circumstances. Webster's Dictionary describes the word ponder this way. It says, to think about it, to reflect on. And it goes on to say, to think or consider quietly, soberly, and deeply. It listed the word meditate as a synonym. And I think that kind of captures Mary's, what's going on in her life. She's meditating on these things. As she wraps the baby in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger, she is meditating on the promises of God. Meditate means to have a deep focus of one's thoughts and to desire to understand it more clearly. What was she meditating on? Well, we obviously understand that Mary was a woman of God. She loved the Lord. She was favored by God. She was blessed by God. She was considered by God to be a woman who could bring forth His Son. And from an earthly perspective, raise this child in a way that would honor and glorify Him. I think Mary was meditating on some of the Old Testament prophets and the promises that they spoke and wrote down for us. We see them often on Christmas cards, like Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that says, Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Mary knows that she is a virgin. She has conceived from the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to a son, so says the angel. And she's been instructed to say, His name is Emmanuel. Wow! Isaiah 7:14 is coming true in Mary's life on that night. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the host, the Lord of hosts will perform this. Mary knows these things are going to happen because she is giving birth to the Messiah. And that's what Isaiah 9:6 is all about. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who was born that night. And I think Mary probably realized and was thinking and meditating and pondering and focusing her thoughts on those very truths. Or maybe it was this one. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. This is the one. This is why we're in Bethlehem. Do you think maybe she asked the question, why do we have to be here tonight? Maybe God brought this word to her mind. You, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you will come the one who rules my nation, who rules my people. That's why we're in Bethlehem. And it's not because Caesar Augustus sent out a decree. That's just the means God used to accomplish his plan. Caesar was a puppet in God's sovereign plan. Now, Caesar wouldn't admit to that, just like our politicians don't admit to that today. But you see, God is using people to bring about his plans, his will in our lives. Or maybe she went all the way back to the first promise of the Messiah in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God said, and I will put enmity, talking to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That idea there was he shall deliver the death blow to you, Satan. That's why when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and he uttered those words, it is finished. He was talking about the stranglehold that Satan had over mankind. The threat of eternal separation no longer existed if one would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All of these things Mary knew because she was a well-educated, knew the scriptures, have been favored by God. We can't say for certain, but these certainly would be things that she could call to mind and shape her perspective on that first Christmas night. Well, she also made some cognizant choices. You see, the birth of Christ changed Mary's life forever. The birth of the Christ child. It impacted the way she made choices and decisions. We see from Mary's song that we referred to earlier in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, after the announcement of the birth of Jesus, that Mary was a woman that feared God. Mary was a woman who had tremendous knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, but more importantly, Mary put all of these things together about her son. The first hand knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit in her life. The announcement from the angel. The experiences she had as the Christ child's mother. And the work that the Spirit was doing in her and through her. All these things, I believe, brought her to an understanding of who Jesus is. And she would put her faith and trust in her son, the Son of God. Mary's relationship with Christ, and not just that she was his earthly mother, but that she trusted in his saving work on Calvary, impacted her lifestyle. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, take a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And we read that she and others followed the way of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke writes this. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner. And as you saw him go into heaven, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of Alphaeus. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, here it is, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You see, the life of Jesus impacted his mother's life in such a way that she became a follower of the Savior of the world, the Savior of mankind. Knowing what you know about Jesus, understanding what the Scriptures have said, and all that has been fulfilled, we should make the same kind of decision that Mary made, to follow Jesus, to give all we have, to give our lives for the cause of Christ. I've asked Ryan to play a song for us. I don't know if it's a common Christian song. They play it on the radio. We have it on our Spotify list. We enjoy listening to it. Perhaps you've heard it from the Ball Brothers, but I wanted to give the kids something to enjoy this morning as well. This is from a group called Go Fish. Enjoy this song that reminds us of what Christmas is all about. focus won't just be on those kinds of things, but that my focus will be on what Jesus came to do on that first Christmas. I think you caught the words in that song. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. That's what we're celebrating, right? The birth of Jesus. But it's the ending that can save you. We couldn't have the cross if it weren't for the birth of Jesus first. That's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. You know, we're all sinners. We all have to come to that realization that, yes, I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God for all of eternity unless I accept the gift of Christ and the work that was completed on the cross of Calvary. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. Without the birth of Christ in Bethlehem and his work on the cross, we would only be born once. And that would mean we would still be in our sins. But praise God, the drop of blood that was shed from Christ when he was nailed to the tree, something that I should have had to suffer and endure and still would have come up short. But because it was Christ, the perfect, spotless Lamb on the cross of Calvary, you and I can have real life. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ, please don't leave without talking to us. I understand, and you understand, that we face challenges, especially 2020 and the crazy year that it's been. Maybe you won't be able to celebrate Christmas the way you normally do. Maybe you won't be able to spend Christmas with all of your family members gathered together in one house, under one roof, around one tree. That might not happen. But you know what? You can still be thankful for your family. You can still be thankful that God has brought you together as a group of individuals who hopefully share the commonality of knowing Christ as your Savior. If not, you can pray for your family that they would come to know Christ during this Christmas season. You understand that during this time of year, people are willing to talk about the birth of Jesus because that's what Christmas is. We're a little removed from that being the focus of our Christmases in this country. But people still will let you talk about Jesus because, after all, it is Christ Mass, Christmas. It is about Jesus. Well, let's focus on that this year. Let's remember that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And it would be good for us to ponder these things in our heart and then to talk about what it is we're pondering so that others will hear and others will know. Jesus came to deliver us from our depravity, the sinfulness of who we are. Those who have been delivered should determine this Christmas to please the Lord with your lifestyle and to adopt the true meaning of Christmas. Make it deeply rooted in your heart and tell it to others as you celebrate with them, and even take the time to wish somebody a Merry Christmas in the next several weeks that lie before us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for demonstrating that love by sending your Son to this world to be born of the Virgin Mary. Father, this morning we've looked at some of the things that Mary may have pondered in her heart. Promises about the coming Messiah. Promises of deliverance from eternal separation from you in a place called hell. Promises that were fulfilled that night, that there was no room for them in the inn in Bethlehem. But Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger and worshipped by shepherds. And then, as our Christmas accounts often talk about, the wise men who came, even though that was a long time afterwards, wise men came to worship the babe, the young child. May that be our goal this Christmas, to continue to worship him as we have throughout the year, but also to take advantage of the opportunities that this time of year gives us to share the good news with others. perhaps simply in wishing them a Merry Christmas. Maybe even then extending that by telling them a little bit about the one that Christmas is all about, your son Jesus, our Savior. Keep us safe as we return to our homes today, and bring us back out this evening as we gather again to learn more from your word.